Hello, America, and all of our listeners all over the world. You're listening to yet another exciting edition of Let's Weekend. I am your host with the most, Brandon Perkins, and joining me as always is Chris Deloche and Teresa Sammons. Say hi, guys.
Hey.
Hello.
Yeah. So, it's hot as fuck down here. And frankly, that's appropriate since this is going to be July 31st. We're just about to go into August, which is usually the most miserable month of the summer. There's going to be a bunch of districts, school districts, where kids are going to start going back to school.
Mm-hmm.
Very soon.
The kids can go back to school, but maybe we should delay the election.
Oh, we're going to get to that. Don't worry. But yeah, so I actually don't know if you guys remember this, if this is ever your thing when you were kids. Back when I was a kid, for at least the first few years of my existence as, you know, being in school, we actually didn't go back to school until September.
Yeah, it used to be like that here. Up north, we would go after Labor Day.
Yeah.
But then in the mid-late 80s when I moved to Kentucky, it was like fucking August 6th and your ass was back in school.
Yeah.
But we also got out like by Cinco de Mayo, which we didn't even know existed back then because, you know, late 80s.
Yeah, we usually got it when I was up into high school, we usually got out in early May. So.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, because, you know, the older kids have jobs to do, used to bale hay and shit like that.
Yeah.
And frankly, it was just too damn hot to be on a bus.
Yeah, it is. It is. Even with all the fucking windows down.
Yep, it was.
And, you know, the driver going like a bat out of hell.
And with their fan that's up in that little corner going.
Yeah.
Nobody's business.
Like, fuck, I don't know what you kids are talking about. I'm just fine. He says that as everybody in the background is basically bouncing around like fucking ping pong balls. But anyway. So, yeah, this week, Trump and the Trump administration basically is going to end up making the lion's share of our assholes of the week, mostly because they managed to pack an awful lot of assholeness into this particular fucking week. I think this might be the week where he finally realized that the writing is on the wall, and now he's just kind of flailing everywhere to try and make it so he can try and delay the inevitable. Yeah, but we'll be talking about that. Also, we got celebrity death to talk about. We got another load from the COVID-19 dump truck. And stupid politicians end up playing into that one as well. Trump administration is going to be pulling a bunch of troops from Germany. We're not really sure why. The Ronald Reagan Foundation really does not like Trump and want him to stop using Reagan's name and likeness. We'll discuss that. Also some news that I kind of wish was something that would have existed in, around fucking 2010 or 2012. A bunch of the major retailers have decided that they're actually going to be closed on Thanksgiving this year.
That's a welcome change.
Yeah.
I'm cool with that.
Yeah. And also we got some weird, of course, entertaining shit. In fact, there's a zombie invasion happening in West Virginia, just not zombie humans. You'll find out what we mean when we talk about it. But, we're going to have all that and more on this week's edition of Let's Weekend. So, start us off as we always do. Chris, what have you been up to this week?
Decided to finish up Flora's Lava, which is weird way they end it, because about halfway through they start changing the team structures that they've had the first like half of the season.
Mm-hmm.
So beforehand it was three teams of three, and they go for an episode or two where it's two teams of three, then they go for like an episode or so of two teams of two.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, that just kind of makes it less interesting with two people. Not as much strategy on that stuff. But then they finish off the final episode with teams of three again. And an episode's probably one of the best of the whole season, because it kind of comes down to pretty close time, yeah, to the time that it takes them to get their people across. And they also play around with the second half, where they kind of revisit some of the same themed rooms. They're kind of the same layouts, but they add some twists. Like one of the episodes, there's like this button that you use to free up this the rest of the spaceship that's kind of half under the lava to give you more room. But then if you hit it, they just start spewing lava all over the place and covering most of the obstacles with it, so it's a little bit more slippery to deal with. So it's like stuff like that, where it's like some things that might help you, some that might hurt you, whatever. But yeah, it ends up pretty okay place. They just kind of really need to nail down the three teams of three. But they did have a group of three black girls that were the gamers. Their team was Triforce Heroes. And they did not do well.
Yeah.
Especially because they're like, we've played games with lava in it, we'll do well. And, like, they did not react well to the actual lava in the show. And plenty of dumb game puns. Like, oh, this is Dark Souls hard. Like, kind of stupid stuff. But yeah, that show's okay. I ended up watching, also starting The Chase, which is also on there. It's a game show where, it's kind of a trivia-based game show where you're trying to defeat this guy that is one of the most well-known, like, trivia champs in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
And they sort of do an American version of this, pitting him against three people, and they try to essentially just answer a bunch of questions up front to set a an amount that they're going to bet against for their chances to get it to the bank, which takes it to the final chase, where they hope to get all three people in so that you have more minds to answer questions. And if the beast misses when he tries to catch up to the amount of correct answers the team gets, they get the chance to answer correctly to push him back further, that kind of stuff. I got about six episodes in. It's not too many episodes I have on there. I think it's like 9 and 10 for the two seasons I have on there. But it's pretty entertaining for what it is. Though it's all, I think the run is from 2013 to 2015, so the answers are all kind of set around there.
Yeah.
For some of the things they're talking about there. But yeah, as for games, didn't really play too much this week. I just started Grounded earlier today, which is the new Obsidian game that is on Game Pass. It's a survival game, kind of basically set in the framework of, like, Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Yep.
With more, like, quest stuff than the usual survival game. So you end up with a lot of early stuff. It's like, oh, you should go check out this thing. And, you know, we're going to teach you about, you know, food, like how to sustain yourself. So here's a quest for that, so that kind of stuff. And so I'm like first night, working my way through that. So far not too bad. Runs pretty well on PC. But yeah, so far so good. And, played a bit of, Paper Mario Origami King. I got that the other day.
Mm-hmm.
Are you liking it?
Liking it so far. I'm still pretty early, so it's still, doing, combat tutorials. I just basically got past, I think, the last one, at least I think it is, where they introduced the idea of sliding, sewing dudes kind of split themselves up across the map, the ring, I guess.
Yeah.
We have to go around in this whole area. We have a little bit of an open area where you gotta smack these, like, giant Goombas. So you get a chance to kind of, like, explore around, maybe a couple, like, small little puzzles there for getting around. To some of the nooks and crannies for extra items and such. The humor is pretty nice, especially like the forest where you're seeing these like snickering comments from.
Oh God!
The crew is like, "Why does he keep using that hammer? Is he ever gonna stop?" This kind of stuff was like, as you're just like wailing on trees or whatever. Some good stuff like that, and yeah, the so far so good. I think I just got the hook to get into the sewers.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, you're not far behind me at all.
Yeah.
I'm like maybe 45 minutes ahead of you. Maybe.
Yeah. But yeah, that's been pretty good so far. Combat stuff, I can definitely see where it gets old for people. They haven't introduced the idea of actually like extending the time or anything like that. Yeah, which I know is like the other big mechanic for that whole thing. But yeah, we're still looking for Luigi because he has disappeared.
As usual.
Yeah, like at the beginning, he's like, "Well, this looks weird. I'm just gonna look around for the princess."
Yep.
And meanwhile, all the shit happens, and it's like, "Oh, what happened to Luigi?" That kind of thing. But
mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's been pretty much it. Temps are cooling down a little bit here. Humidity, not
yeah,
so
much. Yeah,
lucky
you.
Humidity yesterday was at 70%.
Ah,
so it was like,
that's more like it.
But we had a storm that rolled in like just south of where I was at, so we got enough of wind like near the end of my shift. I was like, oh, this is nice.
Mm-hmm.
Then I had to deal with the rain when I drove home.
Yeah.
It wasn't too bad. Just needed to use the wipers for the first time in a while.
Mm.
Yeah, that's been it. How about you, Teresa?
I have been back to watching some TV. So finally, after forever and much, much nagging from my brother and my husband, I'm getting around to watching Rick and Morty.
Yeah.
And yeah, I totally should have watched it before. I know. Mm. But hey, I'm watching it now. So
yeah.
And
good on you.
Yeah, enjoying it.
Better late than never.
Right? I'm pretty sure my brother said, well, I've already watched it like 5 times. Okay, fine. I'm watching it the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And then, because Scott's watching with me. I think he already watched it. I don't know when he watched it without me. Beats me. But whenever he's working and I want to watch TV, I've been watching Cursed on Netflix. That's a Netflix original.
Mm-hmm.
It's King Arthur, Merlin type of thing. And then there's the queen who had the sword before King Arthur had the sword.
Yeah.
So it's good. I mean, I think the production value is pretty good on it.
Yeah.
I've not been disappointed with Netflix produced whatevers. And I think Netflix is actually coming back to my neck of the woods in a few weeks to finish mm-hmm. filming. They're filming at a resort kind of across the street from our neighborhood. So they're doing a show called, I had it and I forgot it. Mm-hmm. Whatever. Starts with an O. I can't remember. But as for gaming, I did pick up Paper Mario yesterday afternoon.
Yeah.
Yesterday afternoon. And I played a little bit, and you know, I'm having to kind of stop after about 30 minutes and just walk away because it's not going to be a binge game for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I probably will, but I'm not positive that I'll finish it before I have to return it to the library in a week.
Mm.
And simultaneously, you know, my kid is playing it. So I got up this afternoon and tried to turn it on. It's like, cartridge is not in your Switch. God damn it. So,
yeah.
But I'm liking it so far. I am finding the battle ring puzzles to be tedious. And, you know, it's kind of turning me off on the game a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And
that seems to be a common opinion.
Yeah. And it's... I don't feel compelled to finish it like I did with, you know, the originals. So, yeah, we'll see. But I mean, I've always played all the Paper Mario games, so I got to play it.
Yeah.
You know, some of it's pretty neat. But yeah, like Chris said, the humor is pretty good. And Chris, when you get to the other tree in that area, yeah, that's pretty good too. I liked it.
Okay.
So that's it for me. What have you been doing, Brandon?
Still playing Ghost of Tsushima. I'm now at the second part of the game where I basically have access to the whole island now. Also, got the blowgun, which means I can now shoot various poisons at enemies and watch them react in horrifying ways. The first one you get basically makes them have like a seizure and then vomit out their mouth, vomit blood, that is. Another one you'll get also makes them overcome with an extreme rage that basically makes them charge at nearby enemies. It's good shit. I've also, in conjunction with that, I've also been eyeing like how Japanese players and developers have been reacting to Ghost of Tsushima, and if you get a chance, do so, because they are legitimately like amazed that a company that's not even based in Japan managed to nail Japanese culture so well.
Well, I mean, they've given us a lot of ways to experience, you know, their history through, stories and movies and whatnot.
Yeah.
So, you know, really, that's a testament to some of the great cinema that came out of Japan.
Yeah. In fact, there's a interview that happened in, I think it was with Famitsu recently, that they did an interview with the director of the newest Yakuza installment. Mm-hmm. And like a good chunk of him is literally him praising Sucker Punch and what they did with Ghost of Tsushima. And him again saying, I cannot, he's like, he himself says, this is a game that seems like it should have been made in Japan, but it isn't. Like, I'm starting to think that this is going to be like a similar reaction in Japan to like how filmmakers in China reacted with Kung Fu Panda came out. And they were like, how come we can't make a movie as Chinese as this? Yeah, it's going to be like that, I think. And Japanese players in particular fucking love it, too. And they all, apparently they're all obsessed with the fucking camera mode. Some of them admit, yeah, I haven't really gotten very far in the game because I keep fucking using the camera mode to take pictures of shit.
Well, it looks absolutely jaw-dropping gorgeous. I can't blame you at all.
Yeah. A lot of them are like, are we sure this wasn't made by a Japanese developer? Because this is very accurate. For the record, and just I got to point this out because I absolutely have to, and I'm pretty sure Japanese themselves understand this, but obviously Ghost of Tsushima isn't a historically accurate game in many ways. For example, Kotakon was not an actual person. Also, pretty much all the weapons and armor and shit that you encounter in that game did not come into existence until like a couple hundred years after the Mongol invasion. So, you know, the katana in particular, and a lot of the samurai armor didn't really come about until like the Sengoku Jidai period. You know, stuff like that. But otherwise, they are legitimately impressed. One complaint they do have, and actually this is something that the Yakuza director himself brought up, was that a lot of people want to be able to customize the character that they're playing, because, and the Yakuza director himself points to that, it's like, if this was a Japanese game, the main character's design would never have made it past focus testing, because he's not, quote, handsome enough. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
plus he's like older than what would typically be, because the character that you play in Ghost of Tsushima, he's like in his early to mid 20s. Whereas if this was a Japanese game, he'd probably be like 18 or 19 or something like that.
Mm.
But yeah, so other than that, I've also been playing the Banner Saga. I'm playing the whole trilogy now because I played a good chunk of the first one when it came out, and just it kind of fell by the wayside because there was a bunch of other stuff I wanted to play. But I got kind of a gap period now before, you know, Trails of Cold Steel 4 comes out. So I kind of, you know, have to fill the void. And yeah, it's as beautiful and punishing as I remember it being. Basically, have any of you guys ever seen that movie Fire and Ice?
No.
It's like an animated movie. It was by Ralph Bakshi. It was all the art direction was done by Frank Frazetta. Mm. Yeah, it's kind of like imagine if Don Bluth did a version of that movie, but it was all Vikings. That's basically what the Banner Saga is like. And it's got like – it's basically like a combination of resource management, Oregon Trail, and strategy RPG, basically, as far as like the gameplay is concerned. Other than that, I'm doing my usual reading. Specifically, I have been reading a little book. It's written by one of my favorite authors, Stephen Brust, who yeah. is – yeah?
What's he – yeah. What has he done?
Well, he's done the Vlad Taldo series, which is takes place in Dragaria. That's probably his main thing. But this is one of – this is actually the second book he ever published, and it's called Terrain in Hell. And it's basically a, like, high fantasy retelling of The War in Heaven from Paradise Lost.
Okay.
That's it.
Okay.
It's legitimately great. I highly recommend it. Other than that, well, it's fucking hot.
Yeah.
And it's probably going to be fucking hot for the next few weeks.
Yeah. Probably.
Also, I just found out that apparently there's a hurricane that's making its way towards Florida as we speak. Mm-hmm. And now I'm like crossing my fingers thinking, please, God, don't become a tropical storm and hit Georgia.
That would just be the best thing ever, right?
Yeah, especially during a fucking pandemic.
You know, wait, who's got their year 2020 bingo card out?
Oh, I've got it like I've got like an electronic version in a folder on my script on my desktop. But yeah, so we got famine, pestilence. I think we're about ready for war and death now.
I think we've got death pretty much covered, but I'm pretty wrong on that. I'm sure future will show me that.
Yeah. Also, fun fact: do you know that in the Bible, famine is actually not one of the four horsemen?
I probably did, but I don't remember.
No. The four horsemen of the apocalypse in the Book of Revelations are war, conquest, famine, and death.
Wow.
Yeah, war and conquest. And it's been some have theorized that because conquest comes in on a white horse, and mm-hmm. some of like theologians have and scholars have made the assumption have sometimes made the suggestion that the horseman on the white horse is actually supposed to be the second coming of Jesus
mm-hmm.
or whatever, but I don't believe any of that shit. So anyway, all right. Do we have anything we want to add before we move on?
Nah, been a boring week.
Okay. Well then, with that out of the way, it is now time for everybody's favorite part of the show, Brandon's Random Factoid. And, you know, do you guys know what one of the things I really fucking hate?
I can think of a few, maybe.
Toddlers.
Oh, well, they're challenging.
No, I fucking hate them.
They're
dirty, snotty little bastards, and they annoy the hell out of me.
Do they go right up to you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I don't know what about a 6-foot neckbeard says, hey, this guy might be Santa Claus. But yeah, so, I mean, Teresa, you've had children, so you've had to deal with toddlers before.
Oh, I had one. I mean, I like my kid. I don't claim to like other people's kids.
But, I mean, you've had experience having to deal with and raise a toddler.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, toddlers, they're moody. They don't really have, like, the idea of, like, cognitive permanence just yet.
Oh.
And they basically don't really have any sense of morality. So, basically, they're little chaos tornadoes in human form.
That very frequently strip naked at the blink of an eye.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They strip mm-hmm. naked, and then they start playing with themselves. It's
well, some of them do.
Yeah. But if you really think about it, you can kind of understand why toddlers are moody, annoying little shits. Because, I mean, being a toddler is kind of like a bizarro preview of what puberty is going to be like. You know, your body is changing, but you're too young to really cognitively process it. You know, your limbs are sort of in the process of growing. Maybe you're growing hair on your scalp for the first time. Like, I did. I was actually completely bald until like I was two.
Yeah.
Of course, there's things like, you know, you're losing your baby teeth and having your new teeth coming in.
Oh, everything hurts. Everything grows. Everything's uncomfortable. New foods are awful. New foods are great.
Yeah. And you know what? There is no better way to really just help you visualize what it feels like to be a toddler to a toddler than, taking a good look at what a toddler skull looks like. You ready for some nightmare fuel?
Oh, no. Do I really want to see this?
Go ahead and take a little look at that.
Oh, come on, Skype. Come on, Skype. Show me what I want to see.
You gotta just click on the link.
It's not clicking. It's a new computer, and it's... Whoa! There's a
lot
of
teeth. Finally worked for you?
There's a lot of teeth.
Yeah. I mean, you can probably guess what's going on there, can't you?
Pain?
Yeah, pain. Yeah. So what you're seeing there in that little image, and Chris, just a note, you'll want to probably link this image into Brandon's Random Factoid on the show notes. What you're seeing there is basically a toddler's skull, and those are its baby teeth in the center, and forming up in the gums like a bunch of little white bony tumors is the new teeth that will be coming in shortly.
For some children, not all children.
Yeah, it's pretty terrifying, isn't it?
It is, yes. And it's painful, man. We went through it. It hurts.
Yeah, it hurts.
I didn't really remember a lot of it until 6, but from 6 until 13 was freaking misery.
Yeah. We got another image for you right here. This one's more from the side. And again, as you can see, you got the little teeth sort of stuck in the enamel, sort of like forming in the gums.
Ooh.
And you know how many fucking nerve endings there are in the human gums.
There are.
So you know that has got to be uncomfortable as all fucking hell.
And then if some of them start going sideways.
Oh, yeah. Or they're impacted, or one of them ends up like growing in front of the other.
Yeah, I think that's actually, we're not quite sure yet because everything's crazy with my kids' teeth. But a couple of the molars look like they're growing into one giant molar that's just going to explode itself.
Yeah, that might be impacted. Might want to get the dentist to look at that.
Oh, our quote on braces is $9,000 to $10,000.
Yeah,
there's issues.
Yeah, and finally, just to wrap it up, this is what a toddler's X-ray looks like. It's just all teeth.
Head is packed.
Yeah.
And then they go around and smash their faces into walls and corners and
couches. If you had that, wouldn't you want to be put out of your own misery?
Right? Oh, my God.
Yeah. So, there you go. That's basically what a toddler's skull looks like, and now you understand why they're a bunch of disease-ridden little bastards. And now I think we can all maybe sympathize with them just a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
Except me. Keep the little fuckers away from me. And have them stop yelling at the goddamn restaurant, or I'm going to drop kick them out the fucking window.
Right.
And that has been yet another edition of Brandon's Random Factoid. Okay, so with that out of the way, it is now time to start the show proper. And as always, we have to start our show proper with the assholes of the week. And this week, our assholes are all full of Trump.
Yeah.
All right, so to start us off this week, Trump decided to repeal Obama's AFFH rule with a very, very fucking racist tweet. I mean, he didn't out and say it, but there's some fucking dog whistles that are shrill as hell.
Yeah, mm-hmm. His tweet said, "I'm happy to inform all the people living their capitalized suburban lifestyle dream that you will no longer be bothered or financially hurt by having low-income housing built in your neighborhood. Your housing prices will go up based on the market, and crime will go down. Mm-hmm. I have rescinded the Obama/Biden AFFH rule. Enjoy."
okay, motherfucker. Mm-hmm. Most of us don't want that. Most of us want a diverse neighborhood. We want to be able to lift people up who are in lower income by letting them live in neighborhoods with better education because it's better funded school districts.
Yeah.
We don't want to keep them down. We want to help them. So fuck you, Trump.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you know this also, is a great
it's possible the
for
reason
housing.
He got rid of this is because, you know, Obama's name was on it, and so he's that kind of a vindictive asshole.
Totally is.
He is absolutely convinced that he has to destroy every piece of Obama's legacy before he's gone.
Yep.
Which isn't really going to work because I'm pretty sure the next administration is just going to put all this shit back in.
And then some. Thank you. Let's keep it on going.
Mm-hmm.
Keep it going.
Yeah, but basically on his tweet, let's see, what did he say? I am happy to inform all the people living their suburban lifestyle dream that you will no longer be bothered or financially hurt by having low-income housing built in your neighborhood. All know what low-income housing means. Your housing prices will go up based on the market and crime will go down. I have rescinded the Obama-Biden AFFHH rule. Enjoy.
Yeah, which that rule... requires local governments to prove that federal subsidies for housing projects would not go to developments with zoning laws or other regulations that are effectively discriminatory to minorities, particularly Black and Hispanic Americans.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Which got passed in 2015.
Mm-hmm.
And then he went on and tweeted, "The suburban housewives of America must read this article." And it was an op-ed that supported the repeal of the AFFH.
Yeah.
You know what? And then he went on to say, Biden will destroy your neighborhood and your American dream. I will preserve it, and I make it even better. No, you don't. You don't. The suburban housewives of America want other suburban moms of America to, you know, to have their kids brought up with the most opportunities possible. Fuck him, fuck him, fuck him.
Yeah.
Sorry.
But the bullshit doesn't end there because you guys may have heard recently that SCOTUS basically ruled that the bullshit that the Trump administration was trying to do with DACA was patently unconstitutional.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. Apparently, the Trump administration doesn't give a shit because they're still denying applications.
Yep. So despite the Supreme Court ruling, while still viewed the program formerly called Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals as illegal, and that the court ruling left room for it to pursue other ways to end the program. The Trump administration would limit the scope of DACA while the administration reviews its legality. They are going to reject initial requests and application fees for new filings, consider all applications for renewal on a case-by-case basis, but limit renewals to 1 year rather than two, and reject all applications for advance parole unless there are extraordinary circumstances.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like I said, they just don't give a shit.
So I just got to keep it going for a few more months.
Mm-hmm.
Let me elect somebody that will not try to do all this shit.
Which is my time to remind everybody we are currently under 100 days away from the election.
We are, and there are already reports of the post office being ordered to slow the mail.
Yeah.
I cannot confirm yet that this is happening.
No, it's confirmed. The dude specifically put the postmaster general specifically put in some cost-cutting measures that will effectively slow down mail traffic a little.
So everybody who is able to vote by mail, you know, October 13th, just do it that day. Don't wait.
Yeah,
don't wait. And I actually need to make a decision on whether I am going to vote by mail or whether I'm going to go in person. Because our votes need to be counted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I am probably going to end up voting in person. I got like my mask ready and everything, so.
Yeah, it's probably the best choice. It probably is. It's just so disheartening because, you know, a lot of us already feel like our vote doesn't get counted because a lot of the ballot box, well, not ballot boxes, but there's just so much fraud and idiocy in the U.S. election system.
Yeah.
I don't know. Just, yeah. But we still have to do it.
Mm-hmm. Then he decided to do one step that apparently for most people was actually one step too far. He went on another rant on Twitter about how fucked up mail-in voting would be and how it would be absolutely rampant with fraud and shit. And then at the end of it, he did one of those things where he like adds a question mark at the end of a statement to give himself just enough like plausible deniability.
I'm just asking questions, man.
Yeah, he said, and this was his tweet. With universal mail-in voting, not absentee voting, which is good. That's what he did, by the way.
Those are the same things.
Yeah. 2020 will be the most inaccurate and fraudulent election in history. It will be a great embarrassment to the USA. Delay the election until people can properly, securely, and safely vote? Question mark, question mark, question mark.
And the people who are coming out against him, there is one standout. Because I guess, yeah, this was finally the last straw for a few people.
Yeah. One of the big dudes at the Federalist Society actually came out and said, yeah, not only is this bad, this is like an impeachable offense in and of itself.
Yep. And that, like, is amazing to hear from the Federalist Society.
Which I'm thinking, like, yeah, this is finally the one. This is – I have over the last close to 4 years now said, like, what is the one point that is finally going to be too much for everyone? I thought that, you know, the impeachment when he – you know, it turned out he may have been trying to more or less blackmail the government of Hungary into giving them dirt on Joe Biden was it. Apparently that wasn't it. I thought when we found news that apparently Russians have put bounties on our troops in the Middle East, I thought that was going to be it. But no, it's this. This is the last straw for pretty much everybody else.
I thought it was when they put children in cages, and I was horribly.
You thought wrong, unfortunately.
Yeah, horribly, yeah, mistaken, apparently.
No. But he decided to mess with our sacred political institutions, and that was the bridge too far.
And I'm ashamed that the world is watching us, and they're like, really? This is where you drew the line? I mean, I'm glad you drew the line, but this was it?
Yeah.
What about all those other things?
Yeah.
And the thing is, you can't change the election parameters.
No, because it's actually in the Constitution.
Yeah, if there's no president elected,
spells out that a president election will happen every 4 years on, I think it's the
first
Monday of November.
Tuesday
of November, right?
But yeah, if there's no election of a president by January 20th, of the following year, it goes to the person that's third in line. Which would be the House
Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi.
Mm-hmm.
Assuming she wins her election, but also the elections, federal and state, local, and all that, are controlled by the states.
Yeah. Yep. So he can't delay the election.
Yep. That's not even close to being part of the executive branch.
Yeah. And it would basically, even if he did try to delay the election, like Chris said, he's not going to be president after January.
Nope.
And neither will Mike Pence either.
Nope.
It'll end up going to Pelosi, which is basically the nightmare scenario for the GOP.
Yeah. And of course, Trump reacted to the anger, basically saying, like, do I want to see the day change? No. But I don't want to see a crooked election.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, which is what you guys are trying to do.
And a whole freaking lot of people are countering with, and rightfully so, okay, you're telling all the kids to get their butts back in school and go die, but it's too dangerous for people to go out and vote for somebody that might not be you.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the hypocrisy is just it's more rotten than Limburger on this one.
Mm-hmm. And it's because of that basically almost the entire GOP was like, fuck it. We're let me put it this way. Mitch McConnell made it known today that it was completely okay for any senators who are seeking re-election to distance from themselves from Trump if they think it will save their seat.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of what they ended up doing when Dole was running for the Republican against Clinton. And it's basically a sign that they kind of know that, yep,
they're out.
Stick a fork in them, it's done.
And the interesting thing was that, guess who got vindicated in all of this? Joe Biden.
Yep.
He called this months ago.
Yep.
That Trump would get to a point where he would start calling for the delay of the election.
Yeah.
And he got roasted for it. So he'd eat some humble pie.
Not by us, because I 100% agreed with him that it would that he might try that.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Next up. You know who else is an absolute scumbag in the Trump administration? And I know that's like a fucking dice roll, right? Like, pick one. Yeah, Jared Kushner. Turns out that Jared Kushner's team actually had a plan for COVID-19, a national plan, an aggressive one that would probably have done really well. But they stopped doing this when they realized, you know who's going to end up getting hit hardest by COVID-19?
Ooh.
Blue states.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this this whole team plan initially started to get the millions of tests from China.
Mm-hmm.
Which did not go through official means, as they cut a note here in Vanity Fair. It essentially went to a client named WH. Not through like official, they describe like what the official process typically is.
Mm-hmm.
Here, it did not appear in any government database, nor was there a contract officer involved. So there's a document and invoice obtained by Vanity Fair from a company, Cognitive Technology Solutions. Its own name is spelled as Technology, T-E-C-N-O-L-O-G-Y, on the bill.
Oh, wow.
Which noted a total order of 3.5 million tests for $52 million. A client named simply WH.
Mm-hmm.
So he had this team he was working through, but initially had a plan that was going to solve the diagnostic testing crisis. Began not with public health experts, but with bankers and billionaires. They saw themselves as the A-team of people who get shit done. As they said in a March Politico article.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of like a lot of things Jared Kushner's been tasked with solving issues he's in no way qualified to do.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's a rich boy.
Yeah, what is he qualified to do?
He's been given the task of fixing everything.
Yeah.
Peace in the Middle East, reorganizing the federal government, everything. Everything that Trump doesn't want to do goes to Jared.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, but yeah. The plan called for federal government to coordinate distribution of test kits, so they could be surged to heavily affected areas, oversee national contact tracing infrastructure,
mm-hmm.
propose lifting contract restrictions on where doctors and hospitals send tests, along any laboratory with capacity to test any sample,
mm-hmm.
Proposed a massive scale-up of antibody testing to facilitate a return to work, call for mandating that all COVID-19 test results from any kind of testing taken anywhere be reported to a national repository, as well as to state and local health departments, and a proposed establishing a national sentinel surveillance system, real-time intelligence capabilities to understand leading indicators where hotspots are arising, where the risks are high, versus where people can get back to work. By early April, some who worked on the plan were given a strong impression that it would soon be shared with President Trump, announced by the White House. The plan, though imperfect, was a starting point. And simply working together as a nation on it would have put us in a fundamentally different place.
Mm-hmm.
The effort ran headlong into shifting sentiment at the White House, especially once they realized that places like New York and California were getting hit hard. And said, you know what? We don't have to do this.
Mm-hmm.
It was all on Jared Kushner whether to continue on with his plan.
Yep.
I guess
the insanity gets even worse because Breitbart, unfortunately, still exists.
Oh, God.
And they decide to hold a press conference for a bunch of quacks.
This,
including one particular quack that basically went viral because of just how batshit insane her claims were.
This was the best news story, like, of the whole month.
Yeah, so basically,
all day.
Yeah, the reason they held the conference was because they were still trying to push the hydroxychloroquine angle as some kind of cure or preventative measure for COVID-19, even though it's now been proven that it's not.
Yeah.
It's been proven before, just now. It's been proven, like, this was a while ago.
Yeah.
This was focused on a group called America's Frontline Doctors.
Which basically is run by a bunch of grifters. So,
well, it was also the sites for it was set up like 2 weeks earlier.
Yep.
They had this thing on the steps of the Supreme Court to make it seem like it was important.
It was legit, yeah.
45 minutes. They had this. They detailed that the promoted by the conservative political organization Tea Party Patriots Action, which shared a link to the summit on its website.
I'm actually surprised the Tea Party shit is still around.
Really?
They're
you
older.
Know?
Yeah, but they looked up the Who Is information for the site, which was July 16th. Mm-hmm. The domain registry itself does not expire until 2021. The link led to a website expire page because it was hosted on Squarespace, and I assume they shut that shit down.
Yeah, probably.
They even tried to contact the email they had listed and got a bounce back saying it does not exist.
Yeah.
Yeah, their archive version of the site said, American life has fallen casualty to a massive disinformation campaign. We can speculate on how this has happened and why it has continued, but the purpose of the inaugural White Coat Summit is to empower Americans to stop living in fear. If Americans continue to let so-called experts and media personalities make their decisions, the great American experiment of a constitutional republic with representative democracy will cease.
Mm-hmm.
None of that makes any sense.
Yeah.
Absolutely none.
But yeah, they go through like the doctors that they had here, like Simone Gold, who's an emergency and general practice physician registered with the California Medical Board.
Yeah.
Did a video on Twitter in front of the Cedars-Sinai Hospital in LA, to which somebody asked, like, does she work there? And they responded, hello, thank you for contacting us with your concerns. We checked our staff roster and there's no one by that name on the staff of Cedars-Sinai or affiliated with Cedars-Sinai. Then there was, let's see, Dr. Bob Hamilton, private practice pediatrician from Santa Monica, California.
Who's clearly handled so many COVID deaths, I'm sure.
Yeah, there's Dr. James Todaro, includes a not medical advice caveat on his Twitter profile. He's had no known experience treating COVID-19. Dr. Joseph Ladapo, physician and clinical researcher at UCLA. So he's speaking for himself. His license was issued in 2016 in California. And his current, Dr. Dan Erickson, was also featured in the video. Works at Accelerated Urgent Care in Bakersfield. I think one of the doctors here was the guy that was in the that video that happened a few months ago, like trying to disprove all the COVID-19 things. No.
Oh.
No, they did like their own press conference.
I got
to suggest like all this false information was actually true, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But there was Dr. Stella Emanuel.
This is the one that went viral.
Yeah, Texas-based primary care physician.
Oh yeah,
passion for religion because her clinic
place,
is right next to her church.
Her clinic is her church. It's this seedy little corner strip mall thing.
Mm-hmm.
And she's a pediatrician, so how many COVID-19 deaths has she cured? She claims, vocally claims to have cured it with hydroxychloroquine.
Yeah.
Chloroquine. And so where did she get her medical degree? Well, she got it in Nigeria. And she did some residency in New York, and now she's the expert that Trump is retweeting too? Nah.
Yeah. Oh, it gets weirder, too, because amongst other things, she claims that the reason women suffer from, you know, say, lady troubles, I guess, but more specifically, stuff like, you know, menstrual cramps.
She brought up, like, polyps, I think endometriosis, things like that.
Stuff like that. She said, it's because you keep having sex with demons in your sleep.
Oh, it's the phrasing is the, what did she call it? Spirit husbands and spirit wives are why men have problems with infertility and things like erectile dysfunction. Mm-hmm. And it's because of the it's the demon semen.
Let's see here. They turn into a woman and then they sleep with a man and collect his sperm. Then they turn into the man and they sleep with a man and deposit the sperm and produce more of themselves.
Yeah.
Also, her video got taken down on Facebook,
mm-hmm.
and she went crazy about that.
Yeah.
They said, if you don't speak up, we are getting trashed. Said encouraging patients to use a hashtag when they post their video messages. Their Facebook down the America's Frontline Doctors video. Mm-hmm. She declared Jesus Christ would destroy the social media giant's servers if her videos are not restored to the platform.
Yeah, obviously
Facebook
has
not
happened.
Anything like that happened.
Right.
Nope.
And she declared it in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
Oh, my word. And some of her other shit, like alien DNA being used in all
vaccines.
Sorts of stuff. Oh, good God.
Yeah.
She's just, I mean, it was like Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
It was great. Because everybody, and she thinks that the problem is because of witches
mm-hmm.
and demons. And she keeps bringing up witches and all of her stuff. And she's like a freaking witch doctor. I mean, come on.
Yep.
And you know who else was at this press conference?
Ooh.
It was a member of the House of Representatives, Ralph Norman.
Of course.
Of South Carolina, I believe it is.
Mm-hmm.
He was their special guest, so.
Yep. So, yeah, that's pretty much it for Assholes of the Week, because, goddamn. But moving on from there, we do have our Heroes of the Week, and our Heroes of the Week are The Wall of Moms and Don't Shoot Portland. Have gotten together, and they are going to be suing the Department of Homeland Security over the excessive force that was used during protests.
Yep. Yeah, it targets Operation Diligent Valor,
mm-hmm.
which brought at least 114 officers, federal officers, to Portland.
Mm-hmm.
Alleging the officers made unlawful arrests without probable cause and used violence to stamp out peaceful and constitutionally protected protests.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than protect and defend plaintiffs' constitutional rights, as they are bound to do by law and their oaths of office, defendants have implemented an unlawful policy to squash, quash plaintiff's speech and end their protests.
Yep.
Yeah, filed in D.C. by the Protect Democracy Project.
I hope that this goes somewhere and it has teeth and it takes a huge bite out of everybody.
Yeah. Man, it's going to be... Is it possible to just feel like absolute orgasmic bliss for months on end? Because I'm pretty sure that's how I'm going to feel after Trump is no longer president.
Yeah. I think that we have no idea how much stress we're carrying probably in our shoulders and our backs and our heads and our foreheads.
Yeah.
And after he's hopefully gone in January, I think we're all going to be... just so much healthier.
Yeah, and happier, too.
Yes.
Like, I wouldn't be surprised if you end up seeing, like, some sort of, like, brief utopia period.
Yeah,
where
I mean,
it feels
if,
like just everything has going right for once.
Like, if we are
because
able,
everything's been so shit for the last 3.5 years.
Yeah, if we're able to get out and have parties and celebrate and things, I mean, that would be absolutely worth a month-long freaking party.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Oh, there is absolutely going to be parties just all over the world when he's gone.
Yeah. Yeah, and it'll be great when he's gone, whether it's next year or please no 5 years from now.
Mm-hmm.
It will be just so wonderful to see the rest of the world celebrate with us.
Yeah. Anyway, so with that out of the way, it is now time to move on to the proper show proper. And first, sad to say, we got to say goodbye to Mr. Regis Philbin, yep, who passed away this week.
88 years old.
Mm-hmm.
One of the most well-known hosts we've had in American history.
Yeah.
Hosted a number of talk shows.
Both, Live with Regis and Kathy Lee, Live with Regis and Kelly.
Both late night and morning shows.
Yeah. Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
Yeah, I saw the really great clip of the, I think, the first guy that won a million.
Mm-hmm.
Who basically, on the last question, called his dad.
Mm-hmm.
Not because he needed the answer, just to tell him he was going to win the $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a great clip.
Yeah, I think I've seen he's at least a pretty nice guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, spent over or almost 17,000 hours on television.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a lot of time.
Mm. That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a good guy, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. Almost
2 years.
And
I'm surprised
years.
He managed to host Live with Regis and Kathy Lee for as long as he did without killing Kathy Lee. Because that bitch is insufferable.
Yeah, she got to be on, what was it, Good Morning America?
Yeah.
Yeah, and get drunk every morning.
Yep, pretty much.
Hey, that's, if you're going to get paid to do something you love.
Yep. but yeah, so sorry about that. Rest in peace, Regis. But moving on from there, here we go, folks. We're opening up the garage door and backing it up because we got another fresh load from the COVID-19 dump truck. All right, here we go. So, first and foremost, worldwide, there are now 17.5 million cases. As far as deaths, there are 677,000. In the United States alone, which currently has the lion's share of both cases and deaths, there are 4.6 million cases across the United States, and the death toll officially passed the 150,000 mark, with 153,000 deaths confirmed as of today.
Yep.
Mm.
Yeah. Our economy, this week, actually, it was reported this week that the U.S. economy posted the worst quarter drop on record during the April-June quarter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And just to point this out, it would be really easy to lay all of that on the feet of Donald Trump and his administration, and certainly them bungling it hasn't helped. Well, let's be perfectly honest. Even if Hillary was president and managed to do all this right, it still would have been shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Trump didn't do anything to help.
No.
No.
We dropped 33%. Mm-hmm. Over where it was last year at the same time.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
Yeah. The one saving grace is that we aren't really alone in this. Pretty much all the other major industrialized countries suffered similar circumstances.
Yeah.
They all had major economic downturns because of this thing.
Yeah, this just shows the hole we're going to be in and what Biden will have to work with.
Yeah.
Going in.
Not
too different from what Obama had to work with, but...
Yeah.
No, not really, actually.
Because after Bush, Obama had was dealing with a recession and a shitty economy that Bush left him, and he ended up fixing
such
it.
Such a deficit.
Yeah.
From all the war. Oh, my God.
And then he kind of managed to turn it around.
He freaking did.
I mean, it wasn't perfect, especially the first 2 years.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he managed to turn it around. So Biden's basically going to have a lot of the same. I would not be surprised if Biden ends up, like, hiring a lot of the economic advisors that Obama had in his administration.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It'd be smart to do so.
Yeah. Next up, Herman Cain. Do you guys remember Herman Cain?
He had an amazing interview with John Oliver.
Yeah.
Where he got to tell him a bunch of different scenarios that he could reenact as president.
Yeah. He famously was running for the election during, I think it was, he was running when Obama was running for his second term.
2012?
Yeah. And he kind of became infamous because of how, like, weirdly just kind of flamboyant that he was, and he had that one really bizarre fucking campaign ad where it had him giving the, like, slow 20-second smile.
I missed that.
And then apparently it turned out that a good chunk, he had managed to take a bunch of the lines from his one of his speeches from the theme song to the Pokemon movie.
Yeah, wow. The second one, 2000.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, he, as you can probably guess, was a major Trump supporter. And he also basically flouted all of the COVID-19 regulations. He didn't wear a mask. He refused the social distance. And it killed him because he died this week because of COVID-19, which he more than likely got from Trump's Tulsa rally, the one that ended up falling through.
Wow.
Yeah, the one where nobody was required to wear a mask or socially distance or anything.
Mm-hmm.
Which I believe one of the people he was sitting near was basically going off that's like being so mad. Like, nobody else got sick, you know, mm-hmm. ending like, this is war. It's like, all right, go to war against the virus. Good luck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, it is also important to point out that apparently Herman Cain was also suffering from, I think it was stage 4 pancreatic cancer, which, mm-hmm. first of all, makes this even worse because that means he was also immunocompromised.
Yeah.
That's just like, it's a cascade of really bad decisions here.
Yeah. And it killed him.
It did. Well, that sucks.
And then we found out that another individual now has COVID-19 from refusing to wear a mask. Old Gormless himself, Texas Representative Louie Gohmert.
Yep.
Oh my gosh.
Not only that, but he then went to his office to speak with his staff to let them know that he had COVID-19 without wearing a mask.
Yep, I saw that too.
Yeah, and he was scheduled to fly to Texas with Trump.
Yep.
Now what's
this week?
What's that thing where they're trying to make sure that employers can't be fired, can't be sued for employee deaths due to COVID-19 and exposure and whatnot?
Yeah, that's something they're trying to get.
Yeah, because
I think the White House is willing to let that requirement go.
Old Louis would probably benefit from that, since he probably gave it to people during his, oh, sorry, I gotta go home, I'm sick.
It also doesn't help that his whole office was basically just a good place where that shit could actually get you sick, since apparently it was common for him to basically just berate anyone in his staff who actually suggested wearing a mask.
That's a hostile work environment.
Yep.
I like absolutely the definition of a hostile work environment. Uh-huh. Yay!
Yep. So, apparently, I mean, it's like one of those things that's like, yeah, play stupid games, win stupid prizes.
Yep.
And, And then it gets kind of sad because we now know that some animals can also contract COVID-19. And it's now been announced that Buddy, the first dog who tested positive for COVID-19, sadly passed away this week.
Yeah, not really to coronavirus.
Yeah, he was just kind of old.
He had cancer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But which doesn't help.
Yeah.
No.
And then, as far as more just doing stupid shit, Sinclair Broadcasting.
Oh, these guys.
Yeah, the ones who basically are an amoeba slowly trying to forcibly absorb every local news outlet in the country.
Mm-hmm.
They were actually going to force all of their channels to air a documentary that was accusing Dr. Fauci of creating the virus.
Yeah, plandemic.
Then they decided to delay it a week, and I wouldn't be surprised if they just end up delaying it indefinitely.
They better freaking delay it indefinitely.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be surprised if they're just like, we'll delay it so people stop talking about it. And then we'll put it up. Mm-hmm. And hopefully some stations that have the opportunity to just put it up like 2 in the morning. Where nobody, mm-hmm. nobody worthwhile is watching it at that point.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was, let's see, where's the bit here? Said they're going to spend the coming days bringing together other viewpoints and provide additional context. All stations have been notified not to air this and will instead be re-airing last week's episode in its place.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this was going to be, let's see. Yeah, I'd say watch the John Oliver bit on this whole thing, because it's a pretty good summary of what the whole thing's about, like some of the key issues with the people they bring on. But yeah, I was going to assert that Dr. Anthony Fauci, prominent government official who's head of the U.S. National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, is responsible for coronavirus being created.
Uh-huh, right.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's just a typical thing these people do to try to undermine experts we have.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, what else? Oh, yeah. A Florida man. There we go. Florida man actually managed to use the disease and the pandemic and all the, like, economic relief and shit to basically scam himself into getting $3.9 million, which he then used to buy a Lamborghini and then was immediately charged with fraud.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, the Lamborghini was only $318,000.
Yeah.
Of that money. But yeah, he's arrested and charged last week with bank fraud, making false statements to a financial institution, engaging in transactions in unlawful proceeds. His defense attorney said he is a legitimate business owner who's anxious to tell his side of the story.
I'm sure he is.
He applied to a bank for approximately $13.5 million in paycheck protection program loans on behalf of different companies, according to a criminal complaint. Fraudulent loan applications submitted about the company's respective payroll expenses, investigators said. It's approved for $3.9 million. You know, just shows how good that program was.
Oh, yeah. Just perfectly run. The best people. The best. Yep. We're going to hear a whole lot of these cases going forward.
Oh, yeah. Probably after the election.
Yeah. We've heard a good number already, but that's... Yeah.
Yeah. And finally, the MLB's Major League Baseball's Miami Marlins have had 19 cases in the past week, basically prompting another shutdown.
they've been shut down for about a week or so. To the point where these players are going to have to go through, players and two coaches. They're going to have to go on quarantine, and the team is going to have to like bring in a handful of players just to fill out their roster, because they won't have enough to field
the team. Were these the team that was going out and going to restaurants and shit like that?
That was the Philadelphia Phillies.
Okay.
Who they were playing against when they realized these positive cases were coming in.
Oh, my God.
Can
they not just stop and maybe reroute some of the... some of the money that usually goes to help fund these teams to, like, maybe our schools for more PPE for the teachers?
No, they gotta...
That'd be great.
No, these billionaires need this money. They really need it. They're running low, the single-digit billions.
Yeah.
They gotta fill it back up.
Yeah.
It doesn't help that they're essentially treating like nothing's going on.
This is really bad.
The schedules keep the teams playing mostly the teams in their own division, and then in the other league, the same division in the other league, to try to minimize how far they're traveling, but they're still traveling.
So, you can't control with all of this...
what sort of people you're going to come into contact with at the airport.
Right.
And travel in the hotels and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It sort of seems like they should have just had bubbles for each of the divisions. Sort of have one central place so you can minimize the amount of random contact there is.
So I can see why they wouldn't want to have them together, though. I could see why they wouldn't want to have them together.
Well, they would be in different hotels in the same area.
Okay.
That's sort of what the NBA is doing.
Yeah, I was about to say, like, I hope that, you know, as football season starts to ramp up, that people at the NFL are watching all the things that are going wrong here and trying to learn from the mistakes.
They're not.
Yeah, I know.
They think they're God's gift to sports.
They all fucking think they're like Albert Einstein. They really do.
Yeah,
they really do.
The fun thing is the MLB commissioner is putting this on the players if they end up shutting down the season. Which is like, no, this is on the league office and the people running the teams.
Yeah, thanks.
Like, it's not on these players to deal with the ridiculous setup you got here.
And some of the players probably don't even want to be there.
Yeah, a number of pulled outs completely. Others are on, like, I think one of the best players in the league just had his first kid, I think was his wife.
Mm-hmm.
So he's on paternal leave right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. But yeah, some of the teams are having fun, like their social media teams.
Yeah.
One here in Cleveland, during one of the games, they put out cardboard standees of like a streaker.
Mm-hmm.
Did some cool images, like, you know you're doing it for the clout, but this is not acceptable.
I think
they started doing
somewhere.
Yeah, they started doing the superimposing like video game crowds on the field. And I'll see if I find one, but because they're just superimposing it over the seats, like a player walking near the seats, like the crowd goes over them.
Mm-hmm.
Really fun way. It's like, oh, this is a fun little thing that's going on. And that same team in here in Cleveland was like, I can't believe we still have to say this in 2020, but there's no excuse for putting your hands on the players kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's some fun stuff. Yeah, here's that video. Post in the Skype chat, but
yeah,
there's some fun stuff going on social media wise, but yeah, the teams themselves in the league are the ones responsible for this.
Mm-hmm. All right. So,
that's a funny video. Sorry.
Yeah. Oh, that's good.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, boy.
Here's the limitations of our technology.
Yep.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, so moving on from there, now we get into the other big stories of the week. For example, we found out this week that Trump is going to be withdrawing about 12,000 U.S. troops from Germany for reasons nobody really can figure out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, people are like the general rule of thumb is that it has to do with Russia because they also vie for, I guess, defense contracts or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And this is, of course, on the eastern side of Europe that they would love to have their hands on.
Uh-huh.
The problem is this whole thing would end up essentially wasting a ton of money and time. Because it takes years to do and lots of money, and Trump loves to waste money.
Yeah.
Especially if he's not going to be president after this. It's going to cost billions to execute and take years to relocate the troops. They're just moving into like other parts of Europe.
Yeah, so basically. Even,
like, really pulling them out.
So like they need to make new housing, new camps, or whatever they even call it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, so somebody's going to be making money here.
Basically, like, they're not paying whatever for paying their fair share of NATO bills and all that kind of stuff. Which, like, so what?
Mm.
The whole point is that we help out these other countries.
Yeah. All right. Next story. I don't think this is necessarily a controversial take, at least for us. Ronald Reagan was an awful president and a shitty human being.
Yep.
Yeah.
But he, in the Republican world, he has a cult of personality that would make Stalin blush.
Yep.
You could maybe lay a lot of our problems right now in politics to
him. You could lay about a good 80-90% of them there.
Yeah. But he still, because of that cult, he still has a lot of pull with the conservative crowd, especially when it comes to the Reagan Foundation. And this week, they have actually demanded that Donald Trump and the Republican National Convention stop using his name and likeness.
Yeah. Again, it's sort of tied to help having the Trump campaign holding some sort of giveaway with Commander of Coins ahead, Trump and Reagan on them.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. Yeah, donation of $45 or more to enter to receive a limited edition set of two gold color coins that had images of Trump and Reagan.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that the RNC had used Reagan's image without their consent.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, it's probably important to point out here that apparently Ronald and Nancy Reagan could not fucking stand Donald Trump when they were alive.
Yeah, well, I mean, they were weird with their beliefs, and they didn't give a goddamn about anybody who wasn't rich.
Yeah.
Clearly, but they had more class than Trump ever in his whole life could have had.
Yeah.
You gotta at least give them that. You know, yeah. They had some breeding about them.
Yeah. So yeah, next up, the New York Police Department have arrested a protester with unmarked van over criminal mischief charge.
Yeah. They put out a statement trying to defend this.
Yeah,
this doesn't explain. It's criminal mischief charge. It's a fairly minor thing. To be essentially abducting people.
Yeah.
Let me see if I can find the... Okay, they don't mention the statements, but they say it's like a one of the routine things they do. But yeah, that's de Blasio was like criticizing it, saying a lot of us have watched in pain what's going on in Portland, Oregon, saying that even slightly suggests that is to me troubling, and it's kind of thing we don't want to see in our city. That was not the time and place to effectuate that arrest. It made sense to do it in a situation that was clearly not in the middle of an ongoing protest.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they sent a statement on Tuesday. Okay, here's in regard to a video on social media that took place at 2nd Avenue and 25th Street. A woman taken custody in an unmarked van was wanted for damaging police cameras during five separate criminal incidents in and around City Hall Park. The arresting officers were assaulted with rocks and bottles. When officers from the warrant squad took the woman into custody... In a gray NYPD minivan this evening, they were assaulted with rocks and bottles. The warrant squad uses unmarked vehicles to effectively locate one of the suspects. She was placed into the warrant squad's unmarked gray minivan. It was behind a cordon of NYPD bicycle cops in bright yellow and blue uniform shirts there to help affect the rest. One of the comments here, there's absolutely no justification for this excessive use of force. You're snatching people off of the street and dragging them into unmarked cars. No information given as to where they're being taken or why. It's such an abuse of power.
A horrible, fascist abuse of power.
Yep.
Yeah. That's the NYPD for you.
Welcome to America.
Yeah.
So, next up. Oh, this is just... Well, you know what, Chris, just read it. I can't get through it without laughing.
So this is a tweet by K.W. Miller, who's running for the U.S. House of Representatives in Florida's 18th District. I wonder what that district is, what cities might be involved here. Okay, that is involves Port St. Lucie, Fort Pierce, Stuart, and Jupiter. Oh, Jupiter. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yay.
So, just in case you're wondering, like northeastern part of Palm Beach County.
Yeah.
Made a tweet to alert the internet to an important important topic of concern.
Mm-hmm.
Saying they're now introducing a great deal of anime porn to the internet matrix. Dragon Ball Z is one of the top issues here. They are sexualizing cartoon characters to push a depraved agenda on our kids. What's next? Where will it end?
Oh my, paging Tipper Gore, you're like freaking 25, 30 years too late here. I know that she used to go on.
Oh boy.
All sorts of crap. Okay. Anime porn? Dragon Ball Z? Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really? Yeah.
I'm looking at the Twitter thread for this dude, and man, this is just hilarious. Everybody's basically spamming hentai.
Yeah, he just needs to go watch Black Book and be done with it.
Yeah.
Or is it Bible Black?
That's yeah, it. Go watch Bible Black and check one out. You'll be fine
Black
afterwards.
Books. Black Books is a BBC thing. Yeah. Never mind.
Go watch Bible Black, jerk one out, and you'll be fine.
Here's a good little comic that's, I guess, President Goku. Where he's saying, I don't give a hot gay fuck what Congress says. Slams the desk. Legalize weed, dude.
Oh, my God. Oh, he's just going to get mocked into oblivion.
Here's another image that says, this thread just got 20% cooler.
Yep.
Another one, it's a SpongeBob meme. Calm down, son, it's just a drawing. Here's Garfield and John in briefs. Okay.
It looks like this dude might also be like a QAnon Pizzagate dude.
Oh, sure.
Okay. Yeah, because I'm seeing like a lot of shit about the quote unquote pedophilia cabal.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. Oh, my.
Yeah. Poster board he's taken a picture of. It says Trump, more jobs. Obama, no jobs. Bill Clinton, blow jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I'm going against the Ellen Show stuff.
Yeah. Because I think for some reason people are only now talking about it, but it's been kind of known for the last 10 years or so that Ellen's a shitty boss.
Oh God, yeah.
Yeah.
Not news.
Yeah, like, didn't she have some epic meltdown this week?
Yep.
Yeah.
Here's his new leftist, radical leftist, and liberal new congressional uniform.
Oh, gee, what could it possibly be?
Well, let's see.
Yeah, links in the chat.
Are you effing kidding me? This guy. Okay, nobody's
figured out the internet. It's like in the past 10
yesterday.
Years.
Okay, and men don't wear suits and Oxford button-ups that hit that high on their wrists.
Yeah.
So
he's very concerned about.
And I'm pretty sure they wouldn't be wearing slips like that underneath their skirts.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Those are crazy shoes, though. I mean, do you see that? Like,
yeah.
There's a thing that hits the floor, and then the shoes and the heels are on top of them. That's like some crazy kind of anime thing.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Okay.
All right, so following up with that, we actually have some good news. A bunch of major retailers, specifically Walmart, Target, and Best Buy, will be closed on Thanksgiving this year.
I like this. I
wish this happened when I was working for Walmart, but
yeah,
as I very distinctly remember having to go in and pull a late night shift.
Yeah,
that year,
and they're only doing it because they know that they're not going to get the numbers in sales like they usually get.
Yeah.
But there's the first reason not to do it should be to stop the spread of the pandemic.
Yeah,
and the second reason not to do it would be to give a little respect to your employees and give them a fucking day off.
Yeah.
You know, let them be home with their families. Yes. And
you know, on Black Friday, even more so than now, like, people are not going to fucking stay apart.
No, they're not going to. And opening up everything at like 4 o'clock on Thursday evening or 6 o'clock or whenever it's just too early. And it, mm-hmm. if you know you can go to the store, then there's nothing special about the holiday.
Yeah.
Maybe that's just kind of my old person viewpoint on it. Because mm-hmm. up until, what, 10 years ago, you couldn't fucking go to the stores on a holiday.
Yeah.
And it's part of what made it special.
A holiday.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah. But you get the whole thing where they push the envelope, like, oh, we'll open 2 a.m.
Yeah.
We'll open at midnights.
No, hey, now
let's
it's
try
like...
10 p.m. Like, yeah, it's really creeping earlier and earlier, and it's like, oh, we just don't close.
The turkey's still gobbling in your tummy, and you're at the store. This isn't Black Friday.
Yeah.
I mean, it's Friday somewhere on the planet, maybe, but yeah.
Yeah, they've said that they're going to essentially start Black Friday deals earlier. Online, mostly.
Yeah.
But yeah.
So just like as an aside, are you guys planning on spending less, more, the same, or what the fuck no for Christmas this year?
I'll probably get the same kind of things I usually get.
PS4. Yeah. I mean PS5.
Yeah.
PS5.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm getting a PS5. It's already been decided.
I'm pretty sure this is going to be my year of the email gift card for everybody. It's like, here's an email gift card. I'm going to buy all my shit so you can email gift card me too.
Yeah, just put in the comments, stay the fuck away from me.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure nobody in my family needs to be told that.
Mm. But yeah. This week, a couple of teenagers, three of them, arrested. Oh, I forgot this one.
Oh, yeah. No,
The Consumer Electronics Show is canceled for 2021. It's going to be moving to an online format.
Yep. Yeah, it was going to be the first week of January.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, they've canceled it, put it online,
mm-hmm.
which is good because CS is generally not that great of a show anymore.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of all just, who's got the weirdest shit? What can you fit into a fridge now? That kind of stuff. I was like, you don't need to fucking go there. See that shit?
No.
Mm-hmm.
They can put up their own fucking YouTube videos and show you this stuff.
When are they going to start putting in pants presses in the doors of the refrigerators?
Because
that's the only weird shit that I can think of that they could do that hasn't already been done.
Yeah, I don't know. I know they got stuff like to kind of keep track of the food when you put it in, like when it should go bad by and all that kind of stuff.
You know what? I got a computer that resides right underneath my hair. I think it can do that for me. And I'll keep my $600 refrigerator. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. All right. Well, all right. So moving on from there, as I was talking about earlier, three teenagers have been arrested because apparently they were the ones behind that big Twitter hack that happened earlier this month.
What happened? I already forgot.
They got into the accounts of a bunch of the big names on Twitter, and ran like Bitcoin scams through them.
Yeah,
essentially posting tweets saying like, I forget what the exact thing was, but it was basically saying like, "Hey, if you want to send money to this Bitcoin address, we'll send back double." Whatever you send in, they got like $30 million out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously not sending anything back because people are too stupid.
Oh my.
Yeah, they got like Obama's account, Biden, Bill Gates, Elon Musk, ton of others in this. But the main one is a kid from, let's see, where's he from? He's 17-year-old, yeah, Tampa, Florida. Facing 30 felony charges, including organized fraud, communications fraud, identity theft, hacking, carrying potential penalties of more than $100,000. They have been filed by Hillsborough State Attorney. And the other two, one is in, let's see, Orlando, and one is in the UK, I think. Or no.
Mm-hmm.
One is in California. Okay.
Okay.
Charged with computer intrusion, wire fraud, conspiracy, and money laundering conspiracy. Most serious charge, bringing 20 years in prison and a $250,000 fine.
Mm-hmm.
The other one was charged with one count of computer intrusion, carries a max sentence of 5 years and $250,000 fine.
Mm-hmm.
Which took place on the 15th.
If they're white, they're going to get away with it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, see, there's 19, 22, and 17. One of these kids.
I hope they put their money somewhere offshore. I mean,
probably not.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it's Bitcoin, so.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep.
I'm a little impressed by it, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Except the whole thing is they hacked into, like, Twitter staff accounts. Mm-hmm. And were able to get themselves access to, like, those big name accounts.
That's
as a result.
Nice.
Yeah, they obtained employee credentials, allowing them to target 130 accounts, tweeting from 45, accessing DM inboxes of 36, and downloading data from 7. Twitter temporarily prevented verified accounts from tweeting on the day of the incident, announced an immediate investigation into what occurred. Yeah, because I remember hearing it's one of the people that whose podcast I listened to is like, yeah, this asshole tweeted to me and I was going to respond and then block him.
Mm-hmm.
And said he couldn't respond, so we just had to block him, move on.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. And, yeah, next up, zombie cicadas are invading West Virginia.
What?
Okay, yeah. This kind of needs to be explained just a little bit.
Yeah,
I mean, there's a lot of cicadas out here making noise.
Okay, but... so you know what a cordyceps is?
Probably not.
You know The Last of Us?
Yeah.
Yeah, cordyceps is what causes the zombie apocalypse in The Last of Us.
Oh.
They're an actual thing. Basically, they're a parasitic, mind-controlling fungus that infects insects.
Yeah, makes them go and then shoots a mushroom out of their head when they're close enough to the sun or away from the sun.
Yeah, and basically the idea behind The Last of Us is that the cicadas mutate in such a way that they can start infecting humans.
Yeah.
It's basically the only real-life example of a zombie apocalypse that actually exists.
Okay, so where are the cicadas going? Are they
okay,
like,
so first of all, just to point it out, this isn't actually cordyceps. It's something called Massospora.
Okay.
And it's a kind of parasitic fungus that creates a clog of spores in the lower abdomen of cicadas.
Okay.
And it basically manipulates them so that they then infect other cicadas.
Yeah. It has the males do, like, the mating dance that a female does.
Yeah.
To trick other males to coming to them and getting infected.
Oh my god!
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah, so some of it's been around for a while, but they're kind of come back a bit.
Yeah.
So they're hopped up on the shrooms, apparently.
Yeah. It's an STI.
Basically.
Cicadas.
Yep.
Okay.
Basically cicada herpes.
Maybe a little worse.
So actually, a lot worse, because actually, in truth, herpes ain't really that big of a deal. But that's a story for another day.
Oh my god, the spores eat away at the genitalia, butts, and abdomens of the cicadas until they eventually fall off, replacing them with fungal spores.
Yep.
A brutal process for the insects, which just spent more than a decade underground.
Yep.
They begin to decay, but rather than immediately die, they fly around and infect the others.
Yeah.
Good God. Describes the process of as wearing away like an eraser on a pencil. Blech.
Yeah.
I didn't need that visual. Oh my God.
I got a picture, too.
Yep.
Yeah. That's not what cicadas are supposed to look like.
Yeah, it looks like he's shitting out a piece of dough.
Or like he has a lightning bug butt.
Yeah.
Oh my god. Is it only in West Virginia? Because they need to stay there.
It looks like it's mostly in West Virginia right now.
Yeah. Right now.
Yeah.
There's a qualifier there.
Yeah. Yeah, so...
apocalypse, 2020 bingo card, yeah. People.
Zombie invasion, yeah.
Yeah, we're... Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. Once the rivers start running red with blood, then I'll have a bingo.
Oh my god.
Alright. Next up, Christopher Nolan's film Tenet, the one that he really wants to release, but he absolutely refuses to release on video on demand. Because he's like, no, this movie has to be seen at a theater to be properly experienced.
Well.
Well, it's been decided the film will be debuting internationally on August 26th, and then in September 3rd, it will debut in select U.S. cities.
Yeah, okay. So let's see, 70 territories overseas.
Yeah.
Including Australia, Canada, France, Germany, Italy, Japan, Korea, Russia, and the United Kingdom.
Yeah. Now, you'll notice the reason they're doing it outside of the U.S. first is because those are all the countries that have actually managed to get their COVID shit under control.
Yep.
Well, maybe not Russia and UK.
Well, maybe not. But...
Well, better than the U.S. Let me put it that way.
Maybe better for everybody except those.
Also, both of those countries actually have fairly large social safety nets. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, well, good luck to him and his film. Bring it to video or we're not watching.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got our right. First theater.
Yeah. That's Regal theater Theaters opening. Are opening back up on August 21st.
Yeah, which I responded to their tweet with, like, the Randy Jackson gif of, that's going to be a no for me, dog.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know really what's going on with the independent ones. There was one that did open here in the little town of my alma mater, and then they very quickly closed, and they were showing old stuff. We saw the Magnificent Seven there, and it's stuff like that. It was an old arts type of theater. So they closed, and they said, we're closing definitely, but we are committed to reopening. But all these little mom-and-pop theaters by the part of Kentucky that the rest of my family lives in, you know, they're open, and they're struggling to the point where they're doing, like, popcorn sales in the parking lot just to try to pay the frickin' rent.
Yeah.
And, you know, my uncle was going to some of the stuff. They were showing stuff like E.T., Raiders of the Lost Ark, pulling out all the, you know,
the whatever. Classics.
Yeah, whatever they happened to have on film that they could show, and running at a loss. I mean, just running at a loss. But even he's like, nah, they're not cleaning it well enough. I'm not going back.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't really know what kind of future the theaters have. Or, you know, if they're going to be able to stay afloat, there's one across the line in Tennessee that already closed because the woman said, look, I cannot.
Yeah.
I've already gone through my savings. I can't go anymore.
Yeah. Well, maybe we'll see a resurge in drive-in theaters.
You know, they're actually doing that. Like, I think they're showing against like the side of one of the gym buildings here at one of the schools, but I'm still not going.
Yeah.
Yeah. That would be an interesting way to pivot some of these, even chain theaters, like if they could just, you know, play it off of the side of the building.
Yeah.
So that people stay in their cars,
Yeah, they've got those blow-up screens. They look like the bouncy house.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's just a big
you could just have people come up to the door, make their order for food if they need it.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
There's honestly a lot of benefits to drive-in theaters that honestly makes me kind of prefer them to the regular ones.
Yeah.
Yeah, there are. I was really bummed when ours closed down. There was one. There's only like two or three left in all of Chicagoland, and I'm talking like way the fuck out suburbs, like fucking McHenry, which it's like 60 miles out of Chicago, and it might as well be a 2.5 hour drive, even with expressways. So it's really far out. 60 miles doesn't sound like a lot. It is a lot. A lot of distance. And, like, that one's the only one open now. All the rest of them are gone.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and the land is still there. And the screen is still there. So, yeah, maybe some of these old ones can be revamped or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
The great thing about drive-in theaters is, you know, you don't have to worry about, you know, some guy kicking the back of your seat or...
Yeah. Or sneezing on you.
Yeah.
Or other people's phone distracting you.
Yeah, or people talking too loud.
Yep.
Because you got your own speaker, like, right there. You just
put
it on your car, and there you go.
Now I'm sure you could just, like, listen to it on your phone using an app.
Yeah, probably.
But I think it's also a hard sell when, you know, so many of us have huge TVs and We got PS4 sitting under it with everything streaming. Why do we want to leave the comfort of our own home? Yeah. And we got a toilet here, too, and it's generally cleaner.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, but, and, then we got, some Netflix news. Netflix has seven black sitcoms coming from August to October.
I like that. That's good news.
Do any of these involve Tyler Perry?
I don't think so. These are, like, classic ones.
Oh, good.
Like the 90s and such. But yeah, the Moesha is the first one that hits on August 1st.
Okay. There's a good one.
Let's see. August 15th is the first three seasons of The Game. They got Sister Sister on September 1st.
Mm-hmm.
Girlfriends on September 11th.
Mm-hmm.
The Parkers on October 1st.
Ah.
On October 15th, they have Half and Half and One on One.
Okay.
All right.
Nice.
Good.
And
good stuff.
The Twitter account had a nice video from many of the leads thanking fans for continuing to celebrate their shows and push for it to get this to happen.
Mm-hmm.
That's nice. I like that.
Yeah. Of course, easier to do because everybody's got their webcam.
Mm-hmm.
All that shit to record their own
bit
of the whole thing.
That's another thing the pandemic has showed us, is that we don't necessarily have to have state-of-the-art fucking recording technology in order to make things that work.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah. And finally, we got one last bit of news from Netflix. They're going to be doing a prequel series for The Witcher.
Yep, called Blood Origin.
Yep.
Which is set about 1,200 years before the start of The Witcher.
Yeah.
When in the Elven world. Before the Elven world, the human world, and the monsters world kind of merged.
Yeah. The convergence of the spheres, as they call it in the books.
Yeah.
So that's going to bring up the next great question is, like, what order should we now recommend for people new to The Witcher to consume all the media?
I don't think you have to watch this, like, at any point, like, in any order.
Yeah.
With the show,
well, I haven't.
It's pretty separate.
I haven't watched the series yet because I still haven't fucking played The Witcher. It's sitting right there, you guys. It's right over there. Right over there. And I still haven't played it.
Yeah.
And
you don't really need to for the show. I don't think they're dipping into any of the stuff in The Witcher 3.
Really? Because I would really want to play the game first. There's nothing that would be spoiled. You know how I am with the spoilers.
No. Mm-hmm.
It'll be history stuff that might get referenced, but it's not
going
to directly spoil anything. It's just like, like what the show's covering is essentially like lore.
Okay. Well, then maybe
you might have experienced it in, like, the first or second game, maybe, but not in the third.
Okay. Yeah, no, all I have is three.
Yeah.
And but,
dips even further into the stuff that the books covered.
Oh, yeah.
I've got to get around to that. I have more people on my ass about why haven't you played this than I had people on my ass about why haven't you watched Rick and Morty.
Yeah. The thing about the Witcher series on Netflix is that it is true the timeline for the first season is kind of wonky because it kind of goes back and forth from past to present, and it doesn't really do a good job of letting you know when.
Okay.
But it's definitely worth watching.
Okay. Well, my to watch list has gotten extremely short, and that's still there.
Yeah.
And I mean, you gotta admit, sometimes it's just easier to watch something than to play something.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And of course it's The Witcher, so there's a whole lot of fucking. So
yeah.
You know, just prepare yourself for that.
Yeah, we'll just use the Xbox and stream that in the bedroom with the door shut.
Oh yeah.
Lots of blood and lots of sex.
Lots of blood and lots of fucking. Sometimes blood with the fucking.
Oh yeah, there's one scene, Teresa. That's gonna be so fucked.
Oh yeah,
that's the Brandon. You know the one where the let's say a certain thing comes out of a person.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, you'll know what we're talking about, but
sacrifices have to be made.
Yeah. to become beautiful.
All right.
I do believe we got ourselves a show, folks. So, I would like to remind all of our listeners, if you got a question, comment, something you want us to read on the air, you can get in contact with us at letsweekenders@gmail.com. That's letsweekenders@gmail.com. We'll have it linked for you in the store notes. Also, on top of Apple Podcasts, you can catch our little bit of unscripted shenanigans at Google Play, RSS, archive.org, or pretty much any kind of podcast aggregator you can think of. And if we're not on there yet, well, just wait. We will be. We are like Thanos. We are inevitable and monstrous.
Another series I need to catch up on.
You want to... Nah, I'm just going to let that one go.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, I had no idea where I was going to go with that one. I had like an idea, and then it was like halfway out of my mouth, and then I was like, no, stop, come backwards. Anyway, so with that, I have been your host with the most, Brandon Perkins, and for Chris Elogi and Teresa Sammons, good night, sleep tight, good God, it's less than 100 days till the election. Remember to vote.